Moving on with the Taylor Report, this is CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and I want to take up a matter with Tony Leah, who is political action chairman of Unifor Local 222, I believe, and he has been following the issue of the COVID-19, and this, of course, we looked at it from the angle of unions. There was some kerfuffle amongst the unions. Kerfuffle seems to be my word today. Some argument about how to win compliance with workers who are endangered by this pandemic, which is only growing more complicated and worrisome, frankly, by the day. And one of the matters I took up with Tony previously on this show was that there'd been a report from Max Blumenthal that I thought was unfortunate, that he said that the workers were resisting the vaccinations for the pandemic for COVID-19. And he wanted to give you a kind of an idea that there was widespread union dispute about it, and with unions taking the view that this is an individual matter, which happened to be his own position. And he cited a case in Australia where there was a demonstration, and it got quite a response because he said it was a union-led demonstration, and Australian trade unionists reacted to him saying that's not true. Indeed, it was actually quite an ugly situation where a right-wing Australians had caused trouble at a union office and then had gone out and had a public demonstration, which was labeled union. He never corrected that. And I thought that was a badge for a guy with a very, very distinguished reputation as a journalist. This is a long introduction to the matter, but I want to ask you, Tony, you've looked into the matter. For some reason, Max Blumenthal has decided to get involved in the becoming, deciding whether there's a pandemic, how serious it is. And he's come down rather firmly on the side of the skeptics. And that's my impression. And I can't understand why. Could you shed any light on the matter?
I consider it to be kind of a descent into libertarianism. If you look at the things that Max Blumenthal has been saying around this issue, they really seem to be completely detached from any kind of class analysis. So, for example, he was on Jimmy Dore's show on December 28th, and he said that it's not really a left-right issue. It's not a left-right issue. He says the medical freedom movement worldwide, that's what he's deciding to call it, it's one of the largest, most international and diverse movements, social movement and protest movement of our time.
Pardon my laughing.
He's convinced himself that this idea of freedom against vaccination is the most important protest movement of our time. And then to back that up, he referred to something which is called the Great Barrington Declaration. And this gets bandied around a lot. This is a declaration that came out a little over a year ago, October of 2020, when the ruling class was really eager to get every workers back to work. They called it, saving the economy. The economy to them means workers got to be working for them and generating profits. So you can't have any more of these lockdowns and interferences. And so they got these doctors to sign this declaration. And Max Blumenthal takes it completely at face value. He talks about this Great Barrington Declaration as being three prominent credentialed epidemiologists. And they have come up with this alternative to ham-fisted attempts to eradicate COVID that would be less damaging to workers and society. And then on his own program, Blumenthal invited two of these supposedly prominent epidemiologists to talk about the COVID crisis. And the first question that came to my mind is, why are they calling this thing the Great Barrington Declaration? Well, it turns out that there's a place called Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and it is the headquarters of an interesting entity. I just got to find my notes here somewhere, called the American Institute for Economic Research. And it's actually this institute that pulled together this declaration. It wasn't just a group of, you know, doctors or epidemiologists who decided to do it. It was a political organization that brought them together. It was coordinated by the editorial director of this American Institute for Economic Research named Jeffrey Tucker. So remember the name Jeffrey Tucker. He brought them together. This American Institute for Economic Research released the Great Barrington Declaration and paid for the website where it's hosted. And Blumenthal takes this all at face value, and he asks these two guys, two of the signers of this Great Barrington Declaration are a Swedish guy named Martin Kulldorff, who was at Harvard up until recently, and another guy named Jay Bhattacharya. And he gets them on his show, Max does, and builds up this declaration. He said, oh, this declaration has been signed by hundreds of thousands of people and tens of thousands of medical doctors and scientists. Well, it turns out that anybody can sign it on the webpage and claim to be a doctor or a scientist. There's no checking whatsoever, you know. And he has them explain, you know, what this is about. And it really was, it's really this idea that we're all familiar with from the beginning of the pandemic, that you basically have to let the pandemic run its course and let people be infected. And that's how you develop herd immunity. And we know that this is the policy that was followed in Sweden for some time. And the Swedish guy, Martin Kulldorff, says, oh, yes, you know, Sweden did that. And that's what I believe in. And he said, it's the same policy that the state of Florida followed. And I support both of them. And to Max Blumenthal, no red flags at all. So who is this American Institute for Economic Research?
Which it's is neither right nor left.
It's neither right nor right. Left. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, except.
Actually, just right.
It's yeah. a multi-$100 million institute that's closely tied with libertarians. They do climate change denial. They published an article that's the title was Brazilians Should Keep Slashing Their Rainforest. They have a recent article out about zombie Marxism and how Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization that's threatening the United States.
Wow.
They're funded by the Koch brothers, the Koch Institute, and numerous other right-wingers.
There you have friends of the poor. I mean,
friends of the workers. And Max Blumenthal, who, to be fair to him, has done some really good investigative work where he gets in behind different people and says, who's funding this and where are the ties? But he doesn't seem to have done this with this Great Barrington Declaration. He doesn't seem to care, or he knows and he's not revealing it. I hope it's not that dishonest. But he's just taking these guys on their face value when they say that, you know, they are you know, just caring about people. And then it turns out that these two people that he interviewed and Jeffrey Tucker, the guy who set this all up, are now part of a new organization that they set up called the Brownstone Institute. And Kohldorf is the scientific director, and Jeffrey Tucker is part of it, and Bhattacharya is part of it as well. It also turns out that the governor of Florida, DeSantis, when he was promoting his view on how you could have no vaccine mandates and you couldn't interfere with people's freedoms, that the two of the people who advised him were Kohldorf and Bhattacharya. And they've also recently set up, they're all principals in something called the Academy for Science and Freedom. And it's sponsored by Hillsdale College, a Christian organization that refuses all government funding in the United States so that they don't have to comply with any mandates on affirmative action, right? And they have a Liberty Walk on campus where they have statues of Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher. And I'm sure that Martin Kohldorf and Ray Bhattacharya are going to enjoy walking by those statues of those great advocates of freedom that they are promoting. They also have, this idea of this Great Barrington Declaration and all of these connections go further than that. Another doctor who they have roped in and who is promoting himself, in fact, he calls himself the inventor of the mRNA vaccine, which is totally exaggerated and inaccurate. A guy named Robert Malone has been supporting this declaration. These other guys, Kohldorf and Bhattacharya, have also been on Steve Bannon's podcast, The War Room. Steve Bannon, that other progressive friend of workers. And Malone has even been on InfoWars, the Alex Jones podcast. Yeah. So when they're talking to Blumenthal, they're happy to say, oh, yes, we're progressive. We care about workers. Wink, wink. But then they go on Steve Bannon's show and they ain't talking about workers anymore. They're talking about the New World Order and the kind of things that Blumenthal allows himself to say when he's talking to them, things like the NIH and Dr. Fauci are the permanent state. Now, that's not a class analysis. That's this, weird libertarian analysis. He said it connects directly. This is Max Blumenthal. It connects directly to the military industrial apparatus, or at least indirectly. That's how he talks about it. And he says that, this permanent state is going after people like Robert Kennedy Jr., the really loony anti-vaxxer.
Lost a lot of credibility. Yes, go ahead.
He calls it the COVIDian regime that has been tormenting us for 2 years. So he's getting into this style of talking, which is totally bizarre. And it's this idea that freedom is more important than protecting the health and lives of working people. And you know that they go off course because they just refuse. They got these blinders on. They refuse to see the country that has really crushed COVID and protected workers, which is China. And they ain't going to talk about that. you know, so they have to talk about.
I noticed that. I was going to mention, ask you about that, because it's the they have noticeably a very parochial, self-referential kind of area that they talk only in reference to maybe Britain, but Canada, U.S. And after that, it's just a dark world, and out there be dragons. Now that I think of it, the Chinese, but no, you would think that that would be, they had at least explained to us the role of China and the different approach they took, and also the World Health Organization. I understand they believe the World Health Organization is a captured body belonging to Mr. Gates. But it is very parochial. I mean, just today I read that, for example, Cuba is providing from its, and it has a very superior vaccine. Everybody seems to agree. They provided 120,000 doses to Syria, which, by the way, can't access these things because the West doesn't want Syria to have them. And that was just done as a gesture. But, you know, someone who's in what, let's call it the progressive camp, they don't want to talk about Cuba. I mean, there's a warm place in everyone's heart for Fidel in the Western Hemisphere, knowing that he stood up to the U.S. empire on behalf of his people. That's understood. Wall to wall, Mexico now is, you know, goes out of its way to be nice to Fidel and, pardon me, to Cuba. But Max doesn't want to talk about that.
He did, to be fair, on his show, put the question of China to his guests. But then he allowed them to say things like this. Jay Bhattacharya says that, you know, he doesn't believe the numbers from China. But even if they were true, and even he says it can't last, eventually, sooner or later, they're going to be overcome by COVID anyway. And he says, and even if that didn't happen, even if China was successful forever, then you're saying you do not want the civil liberties that we normally enjoy in a democracy. We're happy to get rid of them in order to maintain a biosecurity state. And that's a bad trade-off. And so Max allows his guests to say that and doesn't say
no argument.
No argument. Because, you know, he thinks that he's convinced himself.
You would think somebody might hold their hand up and say, could we ask some of the indigenous Americans, those who still survive, and also Black and Latino Americans, about all these civil rights and civil liberties we've all been enjoying?
Yes. Well, you know what? There's whole portions
of the population to whom that is a belly laugh, absolute belly laugh.
I have to give you another quote. Max Blumenthal says, when he's talking about the policies of that he calls lockdowns and vaccine mandates, he says there's an agenda behind it, a political agenda of surveillance and vaccine passports. And it's a political agenda that's antithetical to the Constitution and to the concept of liberal democracy. And his guest responds, Jay Bhattacharya. Yes, he says, vaccine passports are incredibly discriminatory. It's a new form of Jim Crow.
Oh, boy.
Max lets that one fly by as well.
Yeah, that go by. Yes, a new form of Jim Crow, except, of course, once again, the white people are the victims of Jim Crow. That's quite an invention. This is really it's an aberration, because, as you point out, certainly Gray Zone has done great things, and Max has, but what has been, I think, has to be noted is that he is an ideologically a libertarian. I was struck by an interview which he was proud of. He posted it. He decided to consult a Belgian psychologist. He wanted to understand why people were going along with the effort to defeat the pandemic. And, you know, why do they care about the Spanish flu? Why would anybody want to avoid getting TB when they can have freedom instead. Anyhow, he worried about crowd behavior. In other words, people cooperating with doctors, people cooperating with medical professionals. The issue he wanted to get at was, how did these ignorant crowds get developed? And the Belgian psychologist walked him through old, some of the worst old textbooks, the one by Le Bon, the crowd in history, I think it's called it. And he said, but you see, the idea of personal liberty is really not strong. It's only, few individuals understand it truly. And so then they got onto the subject, well, if you want to be free, who do you read? And of course, the Belgian recommended Le Bon. And then he also recommended Eric Fromm. And then he recommended Hannah Arendt. I mean, each of them in their own right has done a few things, said a few things, but my goodness. And, what was striking was they were talking more than a half hour where he was asking this psychologist to explain this to him about how, the word he used was how they hypnotize the crowd. In other words, the crowd falls prey to terms or whatever, and it becomes like hypnotic power. But what I noticed was that Max seemed to be hypnotized, because as you mentioned earlier, he didn't actually object to anything the man said, nothing. And he didn't say, well, yeah, but what about? He was nodding the whole time. And I thought, goodness, I just watched him be hypnotized. He wanted to know how you hypnotize crowds. I want to know how you hypnotize Max, because ordinarily he's a chippy individual. He's got sharp elbows, as they say, and he likes to mix it up. And he had nothing to say. He was like he was merely nodding while this. By the way, I never saw any demonstration of heavy credentials from the individual he was talking to, but the two of them basically had the old idea. I think it was Kierkegaard who said that the crowd is untruth, which may be sort of true, but that's true of individuals too. They're not true because they're individuals, and the crowd isn't untrue because it's a crowd. The question is, what is this about? Is there a pandemic? And how best to fight it?
Yeah, and they diminish it. Max Blumenthal himself, in the course of these discussions, said that the number of deaths has been exaggerated. And he said right now in D.C., he said there's only 12 COVID patients in the ICU. There's no crisis. Mm-hmm. Downplaying it. And as you pointed out, instead of recognizing that the major issue for workers in the world is the lack of access to treatment and vaccines, which have been denied to them because it's all run for profit, and the only countries that are supplying aid and vaccines to the world are China and Cuba and countries that are not being driven by profit. Instead of seeing that as the major issue, they portrayed the major issue as infringements on civil liberties of people in the United States who aren't allowed to go to a movie if they haven't been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's the most striking aspect of it is that I noticed, not to make problems in their camp, but Aaron Maté was asked a question about this, and he said, well, to me, he said the issue on this matter of corruption and monopolization by big pharma, and those are all real issues. And he said where it is an issue is, why are we not distributing vaccines to the developing world? That it's Africa, South America, parts of Asia, where they don't have access. And he said, and it's because of these monopolies, they're in the way. I mean, we've had the reports, by the way, when they finally do provide some vaccines to places like Nigeria recently, they were already too old. They had to be thrown out. More than a million doses were thrown out in Nigeria. And then to go back to, you know, sort of the principles, left, right, and class issues, and rights of nations to develop, the West has provided zilch, actually, to the developing world. And it is a fact that Cuba, a small, poor country, by relatively, has been providing vaccines to Mexico, which is not reported here, by the way, because that was bad for publicity here. And of course, China has provided and is providing an extraordinary large amount. And what's the word for that? Here, they say vaccine diplomacy. The answer to which should be, well, why don't you do that? If it's vaccine diplomacy, feel free. But no, they don't.
It's actually solidarity with people around the world and caring about them.
Yes, and realizing we're one people.
Yes.
And we're not actually black and white and Latin and Catholic and is Muslims. We're human beings. And allegedly, we understand that concept has been established in the UN Charter. And therefore, if we have a pandemic, you start where it's needed the most. And then everyone will be made safe. By the way, I don't understand on their point about China, where now more than a billion people have had two doses of vaccine, how they could say, oh, well, eventually it'll get them, you know. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they argue it doesn't exist and it's not a problem. But then they say, out of their back pocket, they pull this, oh, but it'll get China. And you say, I thought it didn't exist. No.
They don't have to have logical arguments. It doesn't exist and it's overplayed and there's, you know, the number of deaths is exaggerated and it's all a plot anyway by China to kill millions of people. RFK Jr., when he was on Steve Bannon's show, did accuse China of creating the pandemic deliberately. Mm-hmm. It's really remarkable. I did want to mention, if you have another minute, that
yes,
this guy Kulldorf had influence in Sweden with the policy they followed there, the herd immunity policy, and defended it and said, oh yeah, you know, there, that's I stand by that. I think that was good. Sweden so far has had 1,504 deaths due to COVID per million population, 1,504. The countries beside it, so it basically, you know, the same terrain, the same kinds of communities and culturally and everything, Denmark and Norway. Denmark has had one-third as many deaths per capita, 581 per million. And Norway's had 246 deaths per million. So for him to say, you know, Sweden has done well when the countries right beside it, which followed a different policy, have done far better, is very dishonest. And of course, we all know that China has had 3 deaths per million. That's the standard that people should be wanting to emulate.
Yes. And there's only one reason they're not, and that is called politics. If we were to admit that formerly backward country that had been flat on its back and crushed, got up on its feet, as they said in 1949, and has reached really remarkable proportion to the point where the United States president has to tell the world, no, we can't let them develop any further because they might become number one, and that would be bad. And we all know that for racial reasons, we're supposed to assume, I think. Tony, it's been very enlightening. I think we have to keep following this because I worry for this phenomena. But also I think we should get into ideology and class positions. I think you're quite right. I think that it's a libertarian position and it definitely doesn't understand, it doesn't approach issues from a class point of view. which means that 80% of the world's people are, don't come on, are not respected by this libertarian approach. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. It's 89.5 FM. And we're going to take a break. We'll be joined again by Phil Conlon.